Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Just as we're likely to head toward a pharmacy when we or one of our loved ones isn't feeling well, wild animals have their version of a pharmacy too. In this podcast, I'd like to consider some examples of the natural medications wild animals use to control parasites. Perhaps one of the first formal studies of animals using these substances occurred in the late 80s when Michael Huffman, a primatologist at Kyoto University, noticed a rather peaked-looking chimp chewing the bark off tree branches and then eating the pith and sucking the juice. This struck Huffman as odd because the tree was known to be highly poisonous. He then went on to discover that the chimpanzees who did this all had a higher parasite load than those animals that didn't, and also that after they self-medicated in this way, the parasite load dropped. These animals carried 88% fewer parasites than those animals who hadn't taken the treatment. Inspired by this, Huffman and his colleagues studied the plant more carefully and ultimately demonstrated that it also contained compounds that killed amoeba, bacteria, and even had an anti-tumor effect. When space allows, many species of grazing animals will defecate in one area and eat in another to prevent becoming infected or reinfected with parasites. Even so, over time, most of them will succumb to parasites. In this case, the animals seek out plants that have tannin-like compounds in them. You might be familiar with tannin. Tannin gives certain bodies of water that brownish color. It's also a component in red wine. Grazing animals with parasite loads would locate plants that carried this, and even though normally they wouldn't go anywhere near it, at these times they would. When scientists tracked their stool, they discovered that the number of parasite eggs in it declined. In the laboratory version of this, scientists gave lambs infected with parasites access to a supplement that contained tannin. Even though the substance offers very little in the way of nourishment, lambs who were infected would eat it. Once they had successfully treated their infestation, they stopped. In this particular case, scientists are not talking about coming up with tannin-based anti-parasitic medications, but rather planting tannin-rich vegetation and allowing animals to medicate as needed. It would not be the herdsman, it would not be the farmer who would make the decision, it would be the animal. How much they would eat and for how long, that would depend on the animal too. Very nice, all-natural way of controlling parasites. Another example of a different strategy was first discovered in the Chinese lesser civets. These are animals who can eat and digest just about anything. And yet periodically, researchers would find these tightly packed bundles of undigested leaf matter in their stool. Why would they swallow this bundle only to pass it out practically in the same form that it went in? Well, it turned out that when they separated this tightly packed bundle, they saw adult parasites trapped between the folds. Multiple species and quite diverse species use this tactic. And finally, we have the lowleaf fruit fly, Drosophila melanogaster. Mama fruit flies have a problem. They lay their eggs that grow into maggots, and their maggots are targets for parasitic wasps who want to lay their own eggs inside the maggot's body. But if the alcohol content in the maggots is up, they're more likely to survive being parasitized than those who have not. Mother fruit flies who live in areas with populations of parasitic wasps will preferentially lay their eggs in areas where there's rotting fruit and other factors that contribute to a higher alcohol content in the substrate, as high as 15%. On the other hand, if the parasitic wasp population is low, they'll lay their eggs in areas with a much lower concentration of alcohol, as low as 3%. Also, the maggots are capable of seeking out higher alcohol content rotting fruit if they're parasitized. So we see a beautiful natural system. These natural wormers out there, and the animals can make the decision of when they need them and how much to take. It takes a lot of confidence to let an animal make that call, to trust the animal to make the call. Mother Nature's been doing it for thousands, if not millions of years. And with luck, maybe in our lifetimes, we'll figure out how to do it too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.